Howdy, partners. You're listening to Conversations with Jacob, hosted by my good friend, Jacob Waller. Make sure to check out the podcast where podcasts are available and check out the video version on YouTube. You can follow us on social media. Facebook is Conversations with Jacob. Twitter is at CWJ Podcast. And you can visit our website, conversationswithjacobpodcast.weebly.com. Hey, you got a show idea? Maybe a guest suggestion? Email us at conversationswithjacob@gmail.com. Now, here's your host, Jacob Waller.
And what's going on, everybody? And welcome back to another episode of Conversations with Jacob. Oh, we got a good episode lined up for you today, and we're talking some Elvis. But before we get to our guest this week, I want to do a few podcast plugs. Would you catch the podcast every Monday at 1 p.m.? Would you hear Jake Thorne with the Facebook and Twitter? And the podcasting platforms is, I think we're on Amazon. We're on, I think, iHeartRadio at this point, and about 20 different podcasting platforms. The mailbag is conversationswithjacob@gmail.com. And website, of course, you can find upcoming episodes, past guests, and so much more. Also, if you like podcasting, check out Two Chairs, No Waiting. That's an Andy Griffin fan podcast and hosted by Adam Newsom, who, by the way, will be on the podcast next week. You can check out his podcast at twochairsnowaiting.com. And also on YouTube. Also joining me today is Austin Irby. Austin, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Can't complain.
That's good. All right. For the folks who don't know nothing about you, can you give us a little background on who you are?
Yeah. How long we got? No, I'm just kidding. My name is Austin Irby, and I'm an internationally acclaimed award-winning entertainer and tribute artist from the state of South Carolina.
All right. Now, and how did you get involved with Elvis, and when did you become an Elvis fan?
Well, that's another long story. So my dad was the big Elvis fan, and still is to this day. He introduced me to Elvis when I was like in a car seat riding in a Ford Ranger. So that was a long time ago. And my dad was playing Elvis's one of the Christmas albums, and I believe it was Santa Claus Is Back in Town. I believe it was playing, and my dad's like beating on the steering wheel and everything. And you know, as I remember that. So you know, being very, very young, like I don't know, probably 3, 4, I don't know. You know, I remember the song, who was singing it. You know, I remember all that, and that just shows you how Elvis impacts your life. So fast forward a little bit. You know, I was raised in my family church. I started singing behind the pulpit, standing in a chair playing a guitar because I was so little, you know, you couldn't see me behind the pulpit. And then when I was about 10 years old, my dad kind of really took an extra step to introduce me to Elvis Presley and who he was. And that was through the movie Jailhouse Rock, which is a big popular, you know, movie for Elvis in the 50s. And I saw Elvis up there, you know, dancing and doing all that fun stuff and with Jailhouse Rock. And I was like, man, you know, as a 10-year-old, I looked at my mom and dad and I'm like, this guy's cool. You know, this guy's got everything. You know, I want to be like this guy. So when I was about, I don't know, probably 13, I guess, 12, 13, I did my first gig about 30 minutes from where I live here. And I got paid $50 and thought I was the richest kid in the world. I went and spent it all at Walmart. Started doing it professionally in 2012, and man, I've been blessed. And you know, there's only one Elvis. There's never going to be another.
Now, do you got a favorite song that you like by Elvis, or is there a favorite song that you like to perform?
You know, that's a question that us as tribute artists has always asked in an interview or wherever. And it's a difficult one to answer for some of us, including me. I mean, favorite song, it kind of changes on a daily basis. This might sound weird, but it kind of depends on the mood I'm in. You know, so, I mean, right now, I mean, I don't think this would particularly have anything to do with my mood, but a song that's been constantly in my head that I've been singing a lot is a song called Western Union, which is a very, very rare song that Elvis sang. I don't think that would have anything to do with my mood because of what the song is about, but it's just one that's kind of been stuck in my head. Favorite song to perform, man, there's a list. But one that fans always expect me to do is Bossa Nova, Baby, from Fun in Acapulco. So, but yeah, man, the favorite song changes on a daily basis.
Now, and how hard is it for a Elvis tribute artist to learn the dance moves and the mannerism of Elvis Presley?
Very difficult. We like to say that we go to Elvis University 24/7. Because you literally learn something new about Elvis every single day. It never fails. Which is an awesome thing. You know, it's not a bad thing. But, you know, as far as the movements and the mannerism stuff, just basically sitting here at my desk and watching YouTube, because that's really all we got to reflect on, and just watch Elvis, you know, perform and try to concentrate on that. And I don't really like using this word, but kind of mimic it, I guess, is the word that I have to use. And the reason I say that is because nobody's ever going to be Elvis Presley. Nobody's ever going to get it perfect. There was only one. We can try everything in the world and it's never going to work. You know, we can get close, but not there. So it's just constantly watching Elvis, you know, getting the privilege to meet, you know, some people that knew Elvis and, you know, them sitting in the audience watching your show, which is very nerve-wracking. and hearing their comments, you know, lets me know what I'm doing to prepare for shows and what I do in my career. I'm doing it right. So
now, how has an Elvis tribute artist, and how do you keep your voice in tip top shape? Because when you do like a song after song, and how do you keep your voice in tip top shape?
It's difficult, man. I know over the past, I did my first show for this year on January the 1st at Memories Theater up in Pigeon Forge. And the cold weather, man, really aggravates your voice. So I wasn't feeling 100% vocally that night. But the funny thing was, is people come to me, man, that's the best we've ever heard you sing. And I'm like, okay. You know, I didn't feel it, but okay. And, but, you know, constantly rest. You know, sleep as much as you can, which in our career, you don't get really much of that unless, you know, you do take some downtime, which, you know, this week's kind of been some downtime for me. So I've been able to rest. And another thing is to kind of help your voice stay strong is literally try to sing almost every day if you can, which is very hard sometimes, you know, because, you know, the Elvis life and singing life is not my only life. You know, I have a personal life, you know, so there, you know, I pay bills and do everything else. I shop at Walmart. So, you know, you have to do all that stuff. But, you know, a lot of people like to do like throat coat, stuff like that. You know, I've done that in the past. Gargling salt water kind of helps keep everything strong. It's a lot of crazy remedies, honey. So, you know, my key is I try to rest. And I try to, you know, drink some, you know, good tea or something to kind of help with everything. But I have bad allergies. I'm allergic to almost everything. so as a singer, I have it rough.
Now, do you got a favorite jumpsuit?
Yeah, it's hanging in the closet somewhere over there. The fringe suit is probably my favorite right now that I enjoy wearing. Now, my favorite suit that I love to see Elvis wear was the peacock suit. I think that's the most beautiful suit he had. So that's a great suit too. But for me, the suit that I think that fits me the best and for my built and looks best on me, and I love it, is the fringe suit, man. Because, man, you got all that tassels hanging, and when you're up there shaking around, it looks like you're moving 100 miles an hour. So that's a good thing.
Now, do you attend Elvis Week?
Yes, I do. Crazy story, and a long story, but I'll try to keep it short. I've been going to Elvis Week since 2012, and I've only missed 1 year, and that was 2020 because of COVID. So I've been going to Elvis Week ever since. And this past year, I believe, was the first time, 2023 was the first time I actually got to go to Elvis Week and enjoy it as a fan. I didn't book any shows. I didn't compete in any competitions. I just wanted to go and enjoy it as a fan because, first off, I'm a fan, you know, and then a tribute artist. So, you know, it was nice to be able to go and, you know, I've been to Graceland every time I go to Elvis Week, I go to Graceland. You know, I go through the tour and everything, but, you know, a lot of times you're kind of rushed because you have a show that night or something like that. But this time I got to really, you know, sit and enjoy everything. And, you know, they're building so much with the new complex. They're adding, you know, the new Elvis movie with Austin Butler. You know, they made a whole new exhibit and it's really neat. So, but Graceland and Elvis Week, man, is the best. You know, it's a lot of fun. So, you know, a lot of times for tribute artists, we really don't get no downtime. We work more during Elvis Week.
Now, speaking of the Elvis movie, and what is your opinion on that? Did you like it?
You know, that's a really good question. Before I answer, I just did a 9-day show run, in December, and we were doing meet and greets after every show. And I kid you not, out of the 9-day show run, the most question asked was what you just asked me, my opinion, from numerous of people, you know, from kids to adults, you know, and my answer is kind of simple. You know, I think, and people watching this might disagree, but, you know, this is just how I feel. My opinion, you know. I think Austin Butler was the best pick they could have ever made. I don't think they could have picked anybody any better. I think he did a great job for numerous of reasons. He loved Elvis. He was an Elvis fan. You could tell that by the way he portrayed him in the movie. He was spot on with everything. He worked his butt off. You can tell. The Presley family loved him too. So that must mean, you know, he really did a good job. So, I think the movie was good. I'm kind of in between because you have to take consideration. I went to the theaters and watched it 5 times.
Oh, wow.
You know, I went because support Elvis, you know, I'm supporting Elvis, his name and his stuff on the big screen. That's the reason why I done it. But every time I went to watch the movie, I learned something that I missed the last time. But the one thing that kept popping out to me was that I learned that Elvis Presley never got to do anything that made him happy. He always did what somebody else wanted him to do, whether it be the Colonel or whoever, except for the 1968 comeback special. You learn in that movie that was Elvis. That was Elvis doing what he loved in front of a live audience. But, you know, you also have to take in consideration, again, that it's a Hollywood film. So not everything is 100% accurate. You know, there's some stuff in that movie that I know for a fact. You know, I've been told by people that know Elvis that wasn't accurate. It didn't happen that way or it didn't go that way. But, you know, I really think that, like I said, you know, you learned that Elvis, you know, always did what somebody else wanted him to do. But that's just the person that he was. He wanted to make everybody happy. But I think the key is that just being able to see Elvis's name on the big screen again, I think they did a fantastic job, and I think it was a great movie.
And, of course, I've noticed over the last, a month or so, there's been a lot of Elvis stuff appearing on TV, appearing in, like, game shows and commercials. What is your thoughts on the Elvis hologram coming in November 2024?
I just read about that yesterday, and I was like, this is going to be interesting. I think, are they starting in London? Is that where they're starting?
London, yeah.
And then they're going to bring it to Vegas or something. I think it's going to be interesting. I really don't know how to answer that question without actually physically getting to see it. But I mean, I think it's just going to be, if I get to go and I walk in and I sit down and I watch it, I think it's just going to be like an awe moment. You know, you're just going to be like, you know, just froze and don't know what to say. I think it's kind of cool what they're doing. And speaking of that, what you were talking about, you know, the stuff they've done on NBC, you know, they're bringing, I think there's a new movie coming out sometime this year. I think somebody told me the other day that's like literally full of all Elvis songs.
Oh, wow.
Which is really cool. And I really think because of the movie with Austin Butler, that's really pushed and really the younger generation, you know, younger than me, is like, man, this guy's cool. You know, let's do more about him and stuff, which is really bringing in, you know, like I said, the younger generation. So I think the movie is really what's pushing all this to happen more. But the hologram thing, I think it would be cool. I hope I get to see it.
Oh, yeah. Now, as an Elvis tribute artist, how do you remember all the lyrics to the songs? Because you do a song after song.
No, man. I mean, the lyrics to the songs, man. Sometimes you don't remember all of them. And I'm just being honest. You know, it's, I really don't know how to answer that. That's a good question. That kind of stumped me there. I guess it's just, you know, I'm used to singing it and doing it so much that it's just locked in here, I guess. But, you know, there's times, you know, when I'm on stage and I'm singing, like, here's a prime example. I was singing Suspicious Minds. This was like 2 or 3 years ago, which is a very popular Elvis song. Everybody knows it. And I was like midway through the song and, you know, you got your mind locked in on what you're doing. And then there's like somebody on the front row that you can see, because when you're on stage, you know, all these lights are on you. So you might can see the first two rows, maybe the third, but above that you can't. And if I don't have contacts on, I can't see nothing. Cause I wear glasses majority of the time anyway. So this lady was like in the front row and she was like singing along to the song and my mind just went strictly to her and I went blank because my mind went off of what I was doing with her and I went blank. And then I start saying what she's saying, I guess. And she wasn't even saying the right words. And I'm like, well, this is going downhill, you know? So it happens, man. I mean, there's songs that I've been singing since I was 13 and I'll get up there sometimes and it just goes away. It's just, it's a natural thing, but it's hard to remember them all. You have to constantly rehearse.
Now, as an Elvis tribute artist, he got a favorite Elvis tribute artist.
Yeah, I have quite a few. You know, I'll be 28 this March, and there's a lot of guys that really helped me out a lot. And I could sit here and name a thousand. One guy in particular, his name is Jason Sykes. He's from down in Aiken, South Carolina. And when I was about 13, him and I met. And that was really my first big show at this big theater, about 40 minutes from where I live. I'd done that with him. I opened for him. And then there was a guy down in Louisiana by the name of Jason Baglow, who sadly is no longer with us anymore. He kind of took me under his wing and took me down to Louisiana and done a bunch of stuff with him for several months. And so he done a lot. Ted Torres, man, from Orlando, Florida, man, I went on tour with him when I was like 15. He's the one that kind of taught me how to do my hair, how to do makeup tips, and all that cool stuff. And then, man, I could keep naming, but one other guy that stands out is Cody Ray Slaughter, who I met when he was 18. I was 13. He was currently working at the Tennessee Shindig in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and taught me a lot of tricks and where to get clothes. And him and I hung out after his show was over. And so he was a great guy. So, yeah, there's several that taught me a lot. And there's still some guys now, you know, that, you know, still teach me something every day. And the cool thing is that from them teaching me, you know, there's guys that do this that's younger than me. That come to me and ask me questions and, you know, I help them and, you know, and all that cool stuff. So it's a cool thing that we just all help each other. So it's really awesome.
Absolutely. Now, and when is your busiest time of the year?
I really don't know. It's all about the same. You know, I would say like, man, I don't know. Shockingly enough, this might sound weird. Summertime's a little slow sometimes for me. And I think that's because kids are out of school. You know, everybody's on vacation. But I know like February, March, April, May, and then when the fall starts into Christmas is super, super busy. So I'd say around, you know, maybe June, July is kind of slow, you know, sometimes. But other than that, every other month is slam.
What is your thoughts on the Christmas at Graceland special back in November?
Who played in that? I'm trying to remember. Was there a country singer who played in that?
I think it was, but I can't remember her name.
I can't. I think it was like Kelly Pickler or something like that. I think I can't remember. I remember the guy. Is that the one that was on Hallmark? Is what you're talking about?
Oh, I'm talking about the Christmas special.
Oh, the Christmas special. I thought you were talking about the Hallmark movie. Oh. The one that just happened recently.
Recently, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about now. Shockingly enough, I didn't get to watch all of it. I kind of missed the first few minutes, but I thought it was kind of cool. You know, it was different. It was different. You know, there was some artists on there that I think really did a good job. I thought Kane Brown did an awesome job, you know, with Blue Christmas and being able to sing with Elvis. But you know, I think it was cool. You know, it was just different, but it was neat.
Yeah, and did you see where Post Malone jumped in the swimming pool?
Yeah, I saw that. That's lucky guy.
Now, when you go to Graceland, do you got a favorite room in the house that you like to see?
Jungle Room for sure. You know, there's a lot of magic that happened in the Jungle Room, man. You know, a lot of recording sessions, a lot of stuff like that. So that would be my favorite. One room that I always walk into and I get emotional in, you know, and when I walk in, I feel like this like tingling sensation, and you know, I kind of get emotional is the racquetball room. You know, when you walk in there, the room before that, and then the racquetball court, and you hear Elvis, you know, in there singing Unchained Melody and you know all that stuff, man. It's that's when I always get emotional in, man. I don't stand there very long.
There you go. Of course, I'm a big Elvis fan, if you can't tell from behind back there, which I guess is there as well. Have you read any Elvis books by people that knew Elvis?
Well, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not a big reader, reading books. But I will say there's one that I sat and read, and that's by Elvis's personal nurse, Miss Marion Cock. She wrote a book, and my dad read it first and then I read it. So as far as that might be the only one that I've really sat and read, cause her and I are really close. I call her my grandmother, her and I are so close. So, but that's probably the only book that I've really, you know, sat and actually read. If it's not audio, you know,
Speaking of people close to Elvis, which I'm good friends with, his hair status, his name is Larry Geller. Hopefully, he'll be on the podcast sometime this year, because I'm in talks with him. So hopefully. But yeah, you know, speaking of books, I'm a big book reader, but all my books I got now is all Elvis related.
Okay.
I'm currently reading a book by George Klein that he wrote. So, you know, there's some stories in there about the 68 comeback special, and there's stuff about Elvis buying the Circle G ranch. I had some funny stuff. And one story in there that made me laugh, George Klein said he was the only man that ever slept with Elvis Presley. Yeah. He said, I think it took place at the Audubon House. It was him when Elvis in bed, and George said that he heard this knocking sound, which he asked Elvis what was the sound, and Elvis said, what sound? Then George said, you know, it's outside, and Elvis said, well, that's all the girls outside banging on the house.
That's too cool, man.
Yeah, so I started reading it, I think, on Christmas. And I'm already on chapter 12.
Nice. Awesome, dude.
Yeah, I'm a big reader. And, you know, I thought years ago when I became an Elvis fan about 18, 19 years ago, I believe, was I always thought Elvis was like this, basically like this character from a book, you know, that he didn't exist or whatever, because he seemed too perfect. To find out years later, you know, and this guy did everything out there.
That's right.
You know, he had a 68 comeback special. He got anything he wanted to get. He got any girl that he wanted, and guys wanted to be him.
Oh, yeah. Everybody wanted to be Elvis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, yeah, you know, I've been an Elvis fan probably before 2004.
Nice.
And I'm 28. Don't look like it, but I'm 28. but yeah, you know, it's just, you know, I like that quote. I think John Lennon said, you know, without Elvis, it would be nothing.
Right.
But, you know, and like I said, I got books. I got about 20 Elvis CDs. I got some vinyl records. And, you know, it's just, you know, and Elvis was too perfect to be here any longer than he was.
Right, right.
But anyways, let's see here. And where can people find you on social media?
Social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. On Facebook is Austin Irby - make sure you put the - entertainer. Instagram's Austin Irby Entertainment, and website is austinirbyentertainment.com. So that's where you can find anything you need to know about me. I'm not hiding a thing.
All right. It's usually at the end of the podcast, I like to ask people or my guests if they have a closing thought for the people watching. So do you got a closing thought?
You know, my closing thought would be, you know, hey, live life to the fullest, you know, and enjoy all the time you got with your friends and your family. You know, me, I'm an entertainer. I'm a tribute artist, but I'm a family guy. You know, when I'm not performing, you know, I try my best to spend time as much as I can with my family. And this is what I do for a living. You know, I don't have a day job. Singing and paying tribute to Elvis and others is what I do. So, you know, I'm big on faith. You know, I walk by faith, and, you know, I know it's because of the good Lord above is the reason where I am in my career right now. And, man, I've got to do things and travel the world and stuff that I never thought in a million years I would do. And it's not because of me, you know, it's because of the good Lord above, you know, he gave me the talent to share with all these people. And, I take advantage of that, and I do it every chance I get. So, just remember, you know, live life to the fullest. Remember, God loves you. And, hopefully somewhere down the road, our paths are crossed at some point.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It was, I hope so anyways. And before I let you go, back in November, I think it was November 10th, I saw my first ever Elvis tribute show.
Okay.
And it was, if I can't pronounce his name, then, you know, I hope you don't see this, but maybe you know him, Cody Dionath.
Yeah, absolutely. Him and I are like this.
Oh yeah.
We're very close, man. Cody and I met, God, what year? 2011, maybe? I ain't sure. It was my second competition or first contest I ever done. And Cody and I were in the youth division. And yes, he won. I lost, but I got second, so I was happy. My first time. But yeah, Cody's a great guy. You know, he's the reigning ultimate champion for the Elvis World this year, and man, he deserves it. He's worked his butt off, dude. And I've been there with him along the way, and he deserves it, man. He's done a great job, and he's a great guy. And I know for sure you really enjoyed the show. Oh, so yeah. I'll actually be seeing him next month. You know, Cody does these festivals with ETA Festivals is his company. And we're doing one in Myrtle Beach, and he's got me hired to perform down there. So I'll make sure to tell him that you enjoyed the show.
Oh, yeah. Of course, I had a good time, and you know, which I think that's the closest that anybody could get to Elvis is like being an Elvis tribute artist.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, because there will never be another Elvis Presley to walk this planet out.
Nope. Elvis had it all. There's only one Elvis, and you can get on that stage and do whatever you want to do, but you're never going to be Elvis. And I promise, for everybody that's watching, I don't go on stage with a beard. I normally shave this, but it's been a week off, so I've let it grow.
Well, Austin, which I really enjoyed this conversation, and we might have to do it again down the road.
Absolutely. Sounds good, man. I'd love to.
All righty. That wraps it up for this episode of Conversations with Jacob. Tune in next week for another interview. Until then, be safe, God bless, and take care of business.